So, hello everyone, welcome to CS75 sections. So, of course, next week is spring break, so there are no sections, no office hours, and no lecture next week. And so we will return usual time, not this coming Monday, but the one following, which I believe might be, is that April yet? I forget, it's around then. So, okay, too early to be making a fool of myself already, so here's sections page. Of course, we have at the very bottom of the page the section notes for today. This is section 6 AJAX, and you can download the PDF from here. And so AJAX is basically just an extension or basically a combination of all of the technologies that we've learned up until this point. It includes from the very front end JavaScript to, or more specifically, a very specific object within JavaScript to usually some sort of PHP or some sort of server-side processing in the back end, and then, of course, all the client-side stuff that we have to deal with in terms of JavaScript. So we do all of this manipulation with JavaScript through the XML HTTP request object, and it's JavaScript tends to be pretty picky about the case, and so just to remind everyone, just put it up here. So, all right, XML HTTP request object. And so this is the way that we're able to send data back and forth from the server, from the client to the server, and vice versa, to be able to update content on the page without having to refresh the page itself. And of course, a very truly excellent example of this is Google Maps. Let's see if it's going to be slow. So just to show you, I'm sure all of you have seen this interface before, but you can literally just drag around, and as you drag the mouse and move the map around, it dynamically loads additional images for the map that represent the map from Google servers. And so in a similar way, this is a very nice interface. In a similar way, you can just obtain data live, so to speak, from the server with our XML HTTP request object. So let's just use this to create a very simple, a very basic AJAX enabled web page. So the very first thing that we need to do then is just begin with any old web page, and I have one here. So this is pretty simple. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Just our standard template sort of stuff with JavaScript tags here in the middle. And so for this to work, we'll use the example that is written in the section notes, and we'll basically just use sort of like a BMI or body mass index calculator from our web page here, but we'll use the server to actually calculate the BMI. And so the equation for this is, it's pretty simple. It's just the weight over the height of the person squared. And when you calculate this, this actually seems like something that we could very easily replicate just in JavaScript, just have the client do itself. But just as a very basic example, we're going to move the calculation away from the client and put it on the server just for this example. So, okay, so I just said the equation of BMI is just the person's weight divided by the height in meters. So what inputs do we need for this stuff? Weight and height, right? So this is pretty easy. What we should do is just create a form for this, and so we'll do that now. So we'll create a form, and we'll ask for the weight in kilograms, input. We'll just give it an ID of weight, makes it pretty easy, and a text type, and a height in meters, input ID height type text. All right. Now, then we'll also have a submit button. This is kind of low, let me try to move it up a little bit. All right, so a submit button, of course. And then we'll end the form. Okay, so this is just a typical form. There should be no surprises here. I left out some of the attributes from the form, and we'll get to that in just a second, but we have a couple of input types, but we've specifically given each of them IDs to make it easy to get data from them within JavaScript in just a minute. And now, remember that... So what is the way in JavaScript, or what is the attribute name in JavaScript to run a JavaScript function when you submit a form? How should I modify this? Okay, so we add the onSubmit attribute to the form tag here. OnSubmit, if I can type. We'll just run a particular function. And then remember, though, that if the code in onSubmit returns true, it's actually going to submit the form. And so in that case, if there were an action attribute, it would go to that particular page to process the form. But we don't want this to actually be processed or anything, so we're just going to return false, which causes the browser to cancel the submission and only run this function. Any questions about that? Yes.
I'm just curious. Could you get the same effect by having calculate itself return the value false?
Yes, you can do the same thing by having calculate the function return false itself. But doing it this way, you don't have to, when you're writing your function, you don't have to remember to explicitly return false. This way, we just kind of abstract that from this particular problem. I mean, of course, you can do it that way if you want, or you could set it to return true if you actually did want to submit. But in this case, we don't actually want to do that. Okay, so we then need to create a calculate function in JavaScript. So remember that we have our JavaScript tags and the CData tags in order to create, so that XML parsers or the XHTML parsers won't confuse the JavaScript text with being invalid XHTML. So let's just create our calculate function. Oops. Function, calculate. This shouldn't be that new to anybody either. So here, let's see. We need to try to instantiate one of the XML HTTP request objects, okay? So we'll just comment that. So instantiate XML HTTP request object. And remember, this is all of that funky try block where you have to do XHR equals new XML HTTP request. And if that doesn't work, it will catch an exception. And what you would do instead is do new ActiveX object. So this is actually very basic. This would only work in a couple of browsers, and most notably, not all of the Internet Explorer browsers will work. And so I'll show you all of the ones that you have to try in just a minute. But just so you know, this XML HTTP request, this is kind of the standardized, now what's becoming the standard AJAX object. And so Firefox and Safari and Opera and all these sorts of browsers should support the XML HTTP request instantiation of the object. However, this AJAX object is still an ActiveX object for Internet Explorer browsers, which is why instead of creating an XML HTTP request, you're actually creating a new ActiveX object. And for this reason, there are actually a couple of different versions. Let's see if I can. So there is Microsoft.xml HTTP, and just for your reference, just so you know, the other ones that you'd have to try. So there's Microsoft.xml HTTP, there's MSXML2.xml HTTP.6.0, MSXML2.xml HTTP.3.0, and MSXML2.xml HTTP. So these are all the many versions of the ActiveX object that you would have to try to create for this lovely web browser that is Internet Explorer. Of course, a way to get around this would be to use one of these libraries that do all of this work for you, such as the YUI library, where you can just instantiate that one object and it does all of this work for you. So do realize that this will work for most browsers, but for especially older Internet Explorer browsers, where all of this sort of technology originated, you have to also try these various ActiveX objects as well. Okay, so we'll just leave that there so we can remind ourselves of stupidity. And let's see. So realize, though, that I set a value into XHR, but I haven't yet defined XHR. This is just a variable. You can name it anything you want, but it should be a global variable so that all of your functions have access to it. So we will do that before the calculate function. We'll just do var XHR equals null in this case. So we can name it anything besides XHR, but it's just a pretty easy representation of XML HTTP request object. So after we do all of these try blocks, if we're feeling lazy and don't actually want to try all of these different versions of the ActiveX control, we can actually test to make sure that XHR has become some object. So what we'll do is just check to see if XHR is equal to null. If it is, then that means that the object has not been instantiated, so we'll just have to do an alert of some kind. So AJAX not supported. Something very, very basic, but just so that you know that one of the many objects that, or the objects that you tried to instantiate, are not supported by that particular browser. Okay, any questions so far about this stuff? Good. So there are several methods and properties that exist in this object, and some of the most useful ones for us in terms of methods are the methods. We have open, which we'll get to in just a second. And we have send. Now we have some properties that are very useful to us. I'll put those over here, I guess. Properties. And that's on ready state change. Just checking the case here. On ready state change. This is not a very good marker. On ready state change, ready state. And we have response, text, response, XML. Response body, all sorts of stuff. Now, we'll go through each of these. And there are actually additional methods and additional properties. Oh, actually, status is also pretty easy. I hope that everybody can read this, but sorry that the marker isn't brighter. Don't think we have another one. Okay, so what we need to do in order to get this to work is to, well, first we've created the XML HTTP request object, and the next thing is to set the onReady state change property to a particular handler function. Now remember that this property means that it's as part of the object, whenever the ready state, this value right here, changes, just from something from like waiting to, there's uninitialized, open, sent, receiving, loaded. When that particular property changes, it's going to run that handler function that exists in this onReady state change property. So that should be the next thing that we do, is to create an onReady state property. So we have xhr.onReadyStateChange equals handler. And handler we haven't yet defined, but it is just the name of a handler function. So let's create that right now. So you just need to create a separate function called handler. I think right now we'll just leave it as an empty shell, and we'll come back to it in just a minute, just so we can continue working with setting up our XML HTTP request object. You had a question? Open and close parentheses.
Yeah, parentheses.
Open and close
parentheses
for what? Let's see. I didn't think you did. Is that you mean? Do you know? I don't think you do. I don't think you need the parentheses at the end of handler here, because I think it's just referencing the. It's just a pointer to the function handler, and there's actually something else that we can do. This is one method to create a handler function, to actually create a separate function called handler and then just reference that name. But if we only use this handler function once when we're creating our XHR object and putting all of the data into it, then we can just essentially create an empty nameless function. So here function. So here what we are doing is just creating a function directly and putting it into this onReady state property. And we can put all of the same code here. This is just it's just called a lambda function, and all it does is just nameless, and it basically abstracts that from us having to set that equal to handler and then creating handler function down here. You can use either method, and either way is fine and acceptable. But for right now, we'll just do it this other way. Just have it set to handler, and that way we'll be able to come back to it in just a little bit. So then we would need to open a particular connection. And in this case, there are a number of arguments that we can set in this particular method. So at the very least, you must have two arguments in this open method. You must have the type of HTTP request that you're making, so GET or POST are two of the most common. For the most part, you'll probably be using GET, but you can use GET, POST, HEAD, PUT, DELETE, any of these sorts of valid HTTP requests. And so in this, we'll just use GET, because that's all we need to do is get some data. All right, so we use GET, and then the URL of something. So we'll just say URL, and in a minute we'll create an actual URL variable to input. And if you were lazy, that's all you would have to do. You could close it there and you'd be set to go. However, the next one you generally want to set to true, and that is the asynchronous portion, and that tells the XML HTTP request object to send the data and wait for data, but while it's waiting for data, it's not going to lock up the web page, it's not going to lock up the browser. So in general, it's a good idea to just make these requests asynchronously. The only reason this might become a problem is if you're sending multiple requests at the same time, you might encounter some sort of race condition, but just for the purposes of, certainly for this section, we can do an asynchronous request. And that's certainly the power of AJAX, is this asynchronicity. Okay, so next we have to be able to send this data. So it's pretty easy, you just do xhr.send and you can pass it null arguments. So I kind of glossed over before creating this URL, and this is just the string that just represents URL, either an absolute path or, like David mentioned in class, you should probably do is a relative path to the URL. So all we would have to do is var URL equals, in this case, we'll just call the BMI calculator just a BMI.php file. And we can pass it arguments just like with any other HTTP request by using question mark and then setting, for example, weight equal to, then remember we have to concatenate in the value of the weight from below. So how would I do that? How would I concatenate in the weight value from the form. What's that?
Is it the method of the get method?
Not quite the get method, but we can use the document object. But beyond that, we do need a concatenating operator. So remember, in PHP, it's a dot. In JavaScript, it's a plus sign. Good. So plus, and now if it doesn't bother any of you, I'm just going to put this on the next line just to make it easier to read. Remember that I'm not actually making a separate line because I haven't ended the previous one with the semicolon. So document.get element by
ID.
Yep. And then remember that that was called weight. All right, so am I done?
No.
What else do I need?
Yeah, I forget the specific syntax, but you have to tell it that you want the value of that element.
Right, exactly. So right now, it's only returning the object itself, and I need to get the value of that element, which actually is just dot value. Good. Okay, so then now we can continue concatenating in the rest of this. So plus, and then remember to separate, you need an ampersand height equals plus document dot get element by ID height dot value. And that should be it. Right, so now in this case, the URL is a relative URL, so bmi.php should be in the same location as this particular XHTML page. Any questions about that? Yes?
What if you're using post instead of get? How would you stress differently when you specify the URL?
You would still specify the URL, but there's some way that I'm not too familiar with that you can actually send post data as well. There must be some function or some way to do it, but really, for the vast majority of things, that especially that I do with Ajax, is with get, and so I don't have... What's that?
Just because you can explicitly specify it in the URL.
Right, just because you can explicitly specify in the URL. And for most of the data that you need to get from the server can just be done with defining it in the URL itself. Yes?
But, height and weight are both numbers, but if they were text, you'd have to worry about percent encoding. I mean, if they had a space in them.
Right.
Or
that's exactly right. So if in this case we are assuming that the contents of weight and height are numbers, and we're not doing any checks to make sure that it's anything that it contains any value that's not HTTP friendly, which would be spaces, for example, where that needs to be converted to, for example, %20. So you would have to be sure to verify the data before you send it. So that is a good point. Thank you.
And if you were passing something that would potentially have spaces or something else, is it in PHP, I think it's called URL and code, right?
Yes, in PHP it's URL and code.
How do you do that on the client side?
Well, I don't think there's a very nice function in JavaScript that you can use, so you would have to write one yourself or use Google. So, yeah. So it's not super friendly, but at least for what we need, this should be sufficient, especially if you use something like a drop-down box where you can specify exactly, so you know exactly the data that's going to be passed. However, of course, you should still send, or you should still check all of that data on the server side, because it's still doing, especially if you do anything that returns any important info from the PHP. So if just as an example, you were using this, you implemented this into your project too, which you don't have to do, of course, but if you were to implement it to obtain stock value information, you'd want to make sure that somebody can't, you know, get somebody else's stock information, for example, just by overwriting it. So all the usual caveats apply here. Okay, so any questions about this stuff? So now, yes?
I'm not clear on the specific functionality that's done by open and the specific functionality that's accomplished by send.
Okay, so open literally just opens a connection, but it doesn't send any data yet.
It's like fopen in that sense, right?
Right. So it's sort of like the fopen function in PHP. It's right. It gets ready for you to read in, or in this case, to send the data, but it doesn't until you actually send the data with the send method. Okay? So sometimes, rarely, maybe if you're looking at some code that someone else had written, some AJAX code that someone else had written, you'll sometimes see these two things flipped, the xhr.open and the xhr.onready state. That's because of a specific Internet Explorer issue that deals, if you use the XHR object many, many times, and if you use it to send different sets of data within the same page, it's probably something that you shouldn't have to worry about for right now, but don't worry that if you see these two flipped, that code would not work. It's probably done very, very intentionally. Okay.
Is there a reason not to flip them all the time?
Is there a reason not to flip them all the time? I forget if there's a specific reason, but I think that the reason that they do flip it to begin with is because it, let's see, in Internet Explorer, if you use the open method, it destroys the onReady state change function in some way, such that you can't reuse this XHR object and you might have to reinstantiate it. So, but there may be some reason that I'm not too clear on for why it's, I mean, as far as I know, this is just the typical, the sort of, the way that it's done. So it's the standard pattern, yes. Okay. So without getting too much into it, let's move on just a little bit. So we do have to create our handler function now. And the reason that I waited until now is because up here was all of the data that was used to send the information with the AJAX object or the XML HTTP request object to the server. So remember that after the onSubmit calculate function is called, it's going to try to create this new request object, and it's going to get the object ready for sending the data by concatenating in all the data into the URL, and then finally setting our handler to the onReady state change, and then opening the connection and then sending the data. So now we need to create the handler. So in the handler, what we normally do is to check what the ready state is. And so the ready state is one of the properties of the XML HTTP request object. And what you've seen up until now is if xhr.readyState equals 4, and that's because if readyState is equal to 4, that means that it has finished receiving data from the server. So there are a couple of different options as well. 0 is uninitialized, so if you get a readyState of 0, that means that open has not yet been called. If you have a readyState of 1, open, it has been opened, but the data has not been sent. So 0, you have not opened it yet. 1, you have not sent yet. 2 is when the data has been sent. And 3 is when the data is being received. So for most of the stuff that we're doing, the ready state being 3 is going to be just a very small fraction of time, because most of the stuff that we're receiving back is very, very small data. But there might be a time when you want to know when data is being received. And so you could actually create, if you wanted, the handler that has a fancier loading option. So you could have it say different things as the ready state option changes. You could say, okay, well, right now we've sent the data waiting for a response. And then when the ready state changes to 3, you could say, okay, downloading the data. Then when it turns to 4, you can actually display the data. But in terms of simplicity, all you really need is to check to see if it's 4, because if it is, then the data has been downloaded. Now, you also have to check to make sure what HTTP status got sent back to your object, and you do that with the status property. That's from down here. So you check if xhr.status equals 200, and remember that 200 is the OK signal from HTTP. If you get a 403, a 404, all of those mean the same things. 403 is probably permissions problem 404, I can't find it, so you've mistyped your URL or what have you. So be sure to check, especially when you're testing. If it's not working for some reason, do maybe use an alert function on xhr.status to see what you're getting back from your request. Okay, so if we get a status of 200, then we can make an assumption that we've received the data and the data is correct. So we can just now we need to insert the data that we received back into the document. So if you scroll down, remember that I didn't actually create anything to put data into. I just had the form for somebody to input the data, and that's about it. So you can use pretty much any element. You can use a div, you can use an h1 with an id tag, you can use anything you really, really want, but in this case I'll just use a span tag. So br span id equals bmi, and nothing calculated, just put something in there for now. So now all this is just a span element with nothing calculated as a text node inside of it. So how can we update that span element to include the data that's returned from the bmi.h.php?
Same way you retrieved the weight and the height. Use
right.
The document object, get element by ID, dot value equals.
So That is a way that you can do it. Probably a better way might be to insert HTML into it directly. So again, we use the document object, get element by ID, and find that BMI element. Okay? Then we set the inner HTML of that particular element to some value. And in this case, we're just going to get the response text. So this assumes then that the BMI will return valid XHTML, whether it's just plain text or if there are any tags in it that text is valid. And like David was talking about, this doesn't allow you to abstract the data from the design very well. So in the second half, Keita will talk about using XML and making that, abstracting that a little bit more so that you can just worry about design separate from returning the data. So realize that we have a couple of different response methods. So we have response text, response XML, and response body. So response text literally just puts the text that's in the response into whatever object you wanted to create. Response XML, Keita will go over a little bit later. And response body, actually, so this is in the notes, and it seems to be binary safe, so maybe if you're sending back an image of some kind or something like that, you would use response body. However, it appears to be Internet Explorer only, so be careful when using anything that's not response text and response XML, because I believe that the response body requires an instantiation of XML HTTP request through an ActiveX object in order for that to work, which is, for the most part, Internet Explorer. So be careful with that. For the most part, you'll probably just want to use response text, response XML, unless that changes in the future, which it may or may not. Okay, so if we don't get back a status of 200, we should still tell the user that something has happened. So we can just give out a very simple alert, else, alert, some error occurred. And we'll be intentionally cryptic and frustrating, just as many websites are with us, although you should realize that it's always a good idea to say something besides just some cryptic, strange error message, if for nothing else but your own diagnostics, so that you can tell what is happening So you can find out what's happening with your script and try to determine what's going on with it and fix it. Okay. Any questions about that so far? All right. So next, realize that this is all the client-side stuff. This is all the stuff that happens from the web browser. The web browser initiates the call to the server. to download the information. But we don't yet have a bmi.php that we were expecting up here. So all we need is a new document, and it can just be a very simple PHP document where it receives a height and weight and outputs the BMI. Okay? So how can we do this? It's pretty easy. So first, we should probably just set some height and weight variables. So how do we set those? Yep, so $height, but what is that equal to? How did we send this data?
$_get bracket.
That's right. We use the get method. So get
quote
height. We can do the same thing for the width, or not width, weight. Right. I guess if you know your width, then kind of. Oh, there I go again. Okay, weight. All right, so now we've just set the height and weight variables to the height and weight of the get superglobal variable. All right, so now we can just calculate the BMI with that very simple calculation, which was weight divided by height times height. Pretty easy stuff. And then all we would have to do literally is just echo the BMI, because the output from this script is going to be that response text. So all we're doing is just outputting the results of this particular calculation, and then it will run it. So realize, though, that this is very vastly oversimplified, and we can do this calculation. We don't need Ajax to do this particular calculation. We can do a division and multiplication with JavaScript very easily, but this is just meant to show you an example of an Ajax implementation. Okay, so now we should probably save this stuff and just make sure that it all works. So I'll save this as bmi.php, my desktop, and then I got to find that other document.
You're missing a closing curly brace.
I think it went off the screen.
Yeah, I have the closing.
No, not the close there in the JavaScript.
Oh, do I? Yeah. Closing curly brace. Okay, let me save it real quick. So page.html. Where did you say?
It's down lower. Lower.
Yeah.
For the else.
Oh, I don't have an open curly brace for the else.
Good point.
If you don't, you can get rid of the curly braces if you only have one text or one function here. But I guess for completeness sake, I will just close that out. Okay. So now we'll save this. So I'll have to upload this to the server because I don't have a way of the computer, just as it is, by saving this on my desktop, is not going to be able to run that PHP file. So while I'm talking, my SFTP program still hasn't loaded. How about that? So all I'll have to do then is just upload these two documents to the server. So realize that with the JavaScript pages, you are very easily able to just save them onto your desktop and run them, because all of that happens is client-side. But remember that when we created the URL variable, we said that we have to get the data from bmi.php that's in the same directory. So that means that we have to upload both at the same time. So let's see. All right. Gotta find it on my desktop. So I realized that it's not exciting because you can't see what's going on, but trust me, it's uploading right now. And we will use this, so we'll have to replace Google's awesome Ajax implementation to our somewhat lacking, let's see, it was called page.html. Uh-oh, what's going on? This may be the shortest demo ever because it's not uploading. Ooh, connection failed. How about that? Wow, okay. This is embarrassing. Try one more time. Is anybody else having issues on the network by any chance? Or is it just my computer? being very picky. Okay. Right, so just to, while I'm waiting for this, so let's just recap what we had done. So in order to, for this example, we had basically five main things. We had a form, created a form to input the data. We used the onSubmit to be able to process the data with the through AJAX. And in that, we instantiated an XML HTTP request object and then used, we set a handler function in onReadyStateChange. We opened the connection and then we sent the data. After the data is sent, the ready state changes from zero, from no connection being opened to no data being sent, to data being sent all the way to force, which causes the handler function to run. And then we ran that. Wow, it's still not working. Then we ran, we inserted that data with the inner HTML property of the, or inner HTML method of the document object, and put it directly into the span ID. So, okay, try this one more time before I give up. Ah, good. All right. Right, so here we have exactly what we had seen. We have the form with the weight, the height, calculate button, and we have that span ID that says nothing has been calculated. So let's just say that I weigh 100 kilograms and I am 9 meters tall. Calculate my BMI. Uh-oh. Nothing. What happened?
Nothing went to that.
Yeah, it looked like it actually posted the data, which isn't good. Let me check to make sure. Ah, where's my... Let's see, I did put return false in that one, didn't I? Make sure. Return false, okay.
Do I have to put like the method in there? The method equals...
It shouldn't need... well, I mean, usually you do need an action and a method, but you shouldn't need it because it's not actually submitting the form. Try this again.
What's
that?
I don't think any of the examples in lecture you had external methods.
Yeah,
in the form.
Yeah, I don't think they. I don't think they did. I don't think they had any method or action. Yeah, that's true. This could be the time for Firebug. Okay, so refresh this page. I should actually make sure that my BMI.php. Ah, okay. So, try this again. So I said I was 100 kilograms and 9 meters tall. Let me first test. So this is a good example of how to test your script, I guess. So weight equals 100 and height equals. So what I'm doing here is just directly accessing the BMI.php. Script to make sure that, okay, so it actually is returning a value. So the problem doesn't lie necessarily with the BMI script, BMI.php script. It seems to have a problem with the JavaScript that exists in my XHTML. So let's see, do I have Firebug installed? I should. This would be a good time to test. Where is it? What is it, this? Let's see. Oh, you know what? I actually may have... I think I had to delete my user folder in Firefox, so I probably don't have even Firebug anymore. So, all right. So, with that excellent demonstration of AJAX, let's just take a quick 5-minute break. When we come back, Kata will talk about XML, and I'll try to debug this, and we'll figure out exactly what had gone wrong.
All right, welcome to the second half of this AJAX lecture section. In the first section, in the first half of the section, Dan covered using the the response, the text of the response, instead of the XML or JSON, as we'll see later on. So in this half of the section, we'll see alternative ways of sending data from the server to the client, so that we can use some more a more structured approach to the data than a simple text or XHTML implementation that we had in the first half. So I'm going to open up a. In the first half of the section, Dan had a slight bug with this script, and the problem was very simple. It was just the use of where is it? Okay, so in the original code, he had written async. And async obviously is not defined as a constant. So by just changing that to true, the script now works as intended. And I'll just demonstrate how it does work. So if I type in, say, I'm 300 kilograms, height 5'6", then calculate, if you can see, it displays 8.33333. Okay. So any questions about the first half? This first half of the section. Okay, so now we'll go back to the original agenda, which is the XML, the more structured approach to AJAX. If we go back to the first half of the section, we had a handler PHP script on the server, and that was returning just the string, right? This number 8.3333. So in this so in the first example of this half, we're going to make a PHP script that will return XML instead of this simple string. So I had actually written an XML handler, but I destroyed that by mistake. So I'm going to write one from scratch. Okay. All right. So make the font bigger. Can you all see? Is this too small? Maybe a little bit bigger. Okay, so we're going to write a PHP script that returns XML in response to two arguments. What are those two arguments?
Width and height,
yes. Better not make the same mistake. So this is a PHP script, so we're going to write PHP. So let's say we want this kind of, when we create an AJAX script that returns some XML, we have to do the same thing that we did with PizzaML, for example. We have to come up with a schema or a structure for the XML. So what kind of arguments are we going to return? What kind of return values are we going to have?
BMI,
yes. So BMI, that could easily be accomplished with the earlier example, so it's not that interesting. So let's say we want to return the current date and time at the server as well. I mean, it's not the most interesting thing on the earth, but we'll get to more useful examples later on. So this PHP script basically just echoes out an XML script. So let's say the first, the root element, what should we call it? I want to call it calculator, because that's how I wrote the script. Okay, echo calculator. Let's turn syntax highlighting on. Okay, and we'll just write this in advance, and calculator. So we're going to calculate the BMI, so we're going to use the same formula as before. So let's say the height, how are we going to get the height? This was... Yeah, we're going to use a get. This is coming in by get, so get height. And the same thing for weight. And the BMI is calculated through, was it height divided by, oh, weight divided by, thank you, weight divided by height squared. Okay, thank you. Okay, so... Now we have these three variables that we've set, and so we're simply going to echo them as XML. In this case, we're only returning the BMI, so we can say BMI BMI. And so this basically just returns the contents of the BMI variable as inside the BMI tag or element. And we said we'd return the date as well. So let's say we have a date tag. And okay, so someone tell me how I can easily get the date as a string here.
Just the date?
Date and time, anything is fine.
Is there time?
Yeah, so, well, right, PHP actually has a date function, and that formats the current date by default and returns it to you. So we're going to use this date function. So a date actually takes two arguments, or one or two arguments. If you're using the first argument is the format of the date and time, and the second argument is which date to return. And if you leave out the second argument, then it'll return the current date and time. So for the first format string, let's I won't delve into the details, but if we type in R, this is going to return the date, time, the time zone. It's a very verbose kind of output, and R is just a very easy way to write this. So
is that shorthand the same as you'd find in various like Unix programs, like the Unix date command and so forth?
I believe yes. It's PHP's date and time functions, library functions are based on some standard library. So okay. Yeah. But if you want more information, you go to www.php.net/date, and the date function is explained there. So we're going to save this. Let's call it XML handler. I'm doing it on another screen. Sorry. XMLHandler.php, and we'll upload this to the...
You've got to close your PHP tags, right?
Oh, yes. So one thing, I actually never close my PHP tags when it's at the end of the file. This is for a very good reason. So all of you may have experienced the annoying session has already been sent, cannot send header error. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that you closed the PHP tag and then you had white space after it. PHP still counts white space after the end PHP tag because it's basically outputting anything that isn't inside the PHP block. So by if you omit the end PHP tag at the end of the file, not in the middle of the file, but at the end of the file, then PHP will automatically end it for you without any extraneous white space. So this is a very good strategy used by most professional PHP scripts. Just omit the the ending PHP end tag. So it might be a useful trick to use. Do note, though, that you can't use it if, for example, you're for obvious reasons, you can't use it if you're ending the PHP block somewhere in the middle of your file. You can only use it at the end. Does that make sense? Okay. So we'll save this as xmlhandler.php. And just to check that this XML is, in fact, working, we'll go to... This is available by the by my website again. It's xmlhandler.php, and what were the arguments that it takes? It's actually in the address bar, but so it takes height equals 20. Well, it takes the height and weight as get variables. So we're going to hit enter, and okay. So if we view the source, this is just displaying as HTML. You can see that although it's not very it's not pretty formatted. There's a root element calculator. There's BMI. There's the BMI tag with the BMI and the date as a string. And so if now you can see that the R format string returns this this very verbose kind of date and time. This is basically a regular XML file, right? There's nothing strange about it. Okay. So now we're going to use AJAX to dynamically fetch this page from the server in response to the users clicking a form button, and we're going to use the BMI and the date, the contents of these tags, to display some output to the user. So okay, XML. All right, so. So this top part is the same as the previous examples. Basically, I'm just creating a new XML HTTP request objects object or an ActiveX object. As before, if you want to support the older Internet Explorers, then you'll have to create an array of several ActiveX objects that you're going to want to test for. So now this part is the same as well. We're just generating a URL. As before, xmlhandler.php is the new script name that returns the XML file, and it's the same up to here. We called the handler function myxmlhandler just for naming sake. Now, okay, so the one part that is different is what's inside. Oh, before that, let me show you what the form looks like. The form is the same as before. It's there's one input element with the ID height, another input element with the ID weight, and instead of displaying the data in a span this time, I've created a new input box with this attribute disabled. Disabled is the same thing as graying out a text box, as you might do in a GUI programming environment. So basically, this is a new text box with the ID BMI box, and it's disabled, so the user can't edit anything inside it. So it's basically just acts as a label, basically. And the current datetime, I've used the same span trick here. Okay. So are we all following? Is this okay? All right. So this is my new handler function. In the previous examples, it was called handler. In this case, it's called myxmlhandler. That's just a name. So we're checking for the ready state to be 4. Remember, 4 is are we ready to? Did we get the data back? And XHR status, were there any errors? And 200 equals no error. So if we get here, we know that we've received some kind of feedback from the XML page, or from the xmlhandler.php script. Any questions up to here? Okay. So now this is new. First, we're using, instead of response text, we're using xhr.responseXML. And basically, response XML, instead of returning the entire contents of the output as a string, it returns it as an XML object, similar to what you may have seen in the PizzaML example, for example, when you saw the when you created a DOM, a document object model of the entire XML file. In this case, we're creating a DOM out of the response that we got from the xmlhandler.php script. And we're just creating a new variable XML as an alias for this response XML variable. And here we're doing something new again. We're calling this XML a variable that we just assigned, and we're calling the get elements by tag name variable. Method of the XML variable. And what does it mean when I say get elements by tag name BMI? What do you think it means?
Array.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I heard array. So basically, this returns the contents of the XML DOM that happens to match the tag name BMI. So if we go back to the XML that I just showed you a couple of minutes ago, let's see if we still have it. Yeah. So again, it's not nicely formatted as we might want, but so we have the root element calculator, and inside we have this tag BMI. How many BMI elements do we have in this XML file? Just the one. So basically, when we say get elements by tag name BMI, we get an array of one element, which represents this this tag that we have here at the beginning. So we go back to, let's go back to the script. So when I say var BMI is equal XML get elements by tag name BMI, as I said, this is an array of one element representing the one BMI tag that we have. And so now this is a very interesting part. I'm using the BMI's variable that I defined over here. BMI is 0. What does that mean? Yeah, the first element of the BMI variable. Dot first child dot node value. Now this might be confusing because if you think BMI is 0 is basically, so let's see, is there, yeah. So BMI is 0, it will basically return So let's say this was the return BMI value. And so BMI 0 will return, what will it return, BMI 0? Yeah, you'd think it returns 0.5, right?
It returns that node.
Yes, it actually doesn't return 0.5 itself, but it returns the node containing 0.5. And by first child, so if you remember, a node in an XML document represents, for example, this is one node, right? But this is actually this value 0.5 is actually encapsulated in a special kind of node called a text node. It's often written like this, sharp text. It's a sharp text node that's encapsulating this 0.5. So when we say BMI 0.firstchild, first child refers to this sharp text node. Does everyone get that? Okay. So BMI 0.firstchild, that returns the text element node representing 0.5. And so by firstchild.nodeValue, since this is a sharp text node, it has a property called node value, which is basically the value that it contains. So this node contains 0.5. So by saying BMI 0 dot first child dot node value, we're basically going down the DOM. We're saying BMI 0 first child node value, which is 0.5. Does everyone get that? Should I clarify more, or is that okay? Okay. So well. Basically, this gets 0.5 in this case. And as we saw from previous examples, document.getElementById bmiBox.value, that's just modifying the contents of the text box. Remember, we had the read-only text box just for displaying the output. And now, in this next line, I'm actually doing the same thing, but I became lazy, and I didn't want to do this var XML var BMIs thing, so I just did it in one line. It's not very neat, and I would suggest you do this one, but it's if you feel lazy, this you can also do it like this. So, any questions about this? This seems to this just gets two datums from the XML.
Since the send was the same as in the previous example, mm-hmm. really, both the XML version and the straight text version in different properties mm-hmm. come back in every response.
No, because we remember. We're using xmlhandler.php. This is a different script. In the previous, in Dan's example, we were using a different script that returns a string.
Yes, but in your script, if you chose, it is sending, there's only one response.
Right, yes. And the only response is the XML.
You either look at it as mm-hmm. XML mm-hmm. or look at it as text.
Right, that's right.
You have to know.
Yeah. Okay. So because we're returning XML in this xmlhandler.php script, response XML will return the XML version, by referring to response XML, we're basically looking at the response as XML. If we say dot response text, then we're looking at the response as text. Now, in this case, if we say dot response text, then we're going to get a bunch of HTML tags, as we saw in the Firefox window.
There's only one message. There's two mm-hmm. properties for the name of that one message.
Right. Just for the camera, there's only one response from the server, but there are two ways. There's actually more than two ways, as explained earlier, but of looking at the response. So any questions? Okay. So I'll just show that this actually works, hopefully. Response. Okay, so BMI XML.html, height, say, 200 meters, 20 meters, weight, 90 kilograms, calculate on server. So, okay, now this is an excellent opportunity to use Firebug. If you've installed Firebug on your Firefox browser, you'll see that you'll get a red icon here saying one error or more errors, as the case may be. So we click on this icon, and it tells us that XML is null. Var BMI is XML get elements for taking. Okay. So this is on line 30 of bmixml.html. Let's go back to that. Line 30 is this one. Okay, so what is wrong with this? XHR response. Can anyone tell me what's wrong with this?
Do you need parens after response XML? Is it a method?
No, it's a property, so you don't need parentheses after this. I'm not sure why it's XML handle.php. It was working until a minute ago. get elements by tagging. We seem to be plagued by errors this section. Okay, get elements. So what is wrong with this? So as a debug measure, let's say we're going to, instead of setting XML, let's say we use an alert box to display the raw response. So response text. Let's see what this returns. Okay, so it's returning the XML. It seems correct, right? Calculator. Is it spelled correctly? Calculator BMI date. Date. Calculator. Calculator. So, wait, is response... I might have actually misspelled this. I believe it was uppercase, though. Response XML.
Yes,
it is uppercase. Okay, so... Can anyone tell me why this is not working? Var XML equals XHR. So basically what Firebug is telling me that is that when I use the XML, when I use XML here, XML is not defined. It's null. So basically there's something wrong with this line.
Try alert XHR.responseXML.
Okay. It says null. So basically XHR response XML is returning null.
Try lowercase ml.
I will try that.
What version of Firefox is this?
Firefox 3.0 beta. Pardon?
Could it be a 3.0?
No, it was working until a minute ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not working in my browser either.
Okay.
Copy any of that text from a browser window or anything like that?
No, I didn't. Okay. I don't want to waste your time, so I'm going to leave it at that. Let's say it works. and I will get back to you about this. Okay. So now, since the XML version works, we're going to go on to the JSON version of this BMI handler. And this one actually works because I already have the files and I didn't delete them by mistake. So what is JSON? Can anyone tell me what JSON is? JSON, by the way, is J-S-O-N and not J-A-S-O-N.
JavaScript
Object Notation. Yes, perfect. So it's basically a way to represent a JavaScript object as a string. And its power lies in the fact that since it's a string, it can be shared by many programming languages and many servers and clients. In this case, we're using it because PHP supports encoding its own objects as JSON. So basically, if you have you've seen classes in PHP, right? Like with if we have a class something, and we have braces, and then public or private, and we have the various declarations. That is a class in PHP. And we can actually put that in, we can sort of serialize it. It's called serialization because it makes it into one kind of string. So it represents, we can represent that kind of class as a JSON string very easily using the function JSON encode that we'll see later on. So what first do we want to... we're going to do the same thing. We're going to return the BMI of the user in response to the height and weight. And we're going to also respond with the date, with the current date at the server. So what do we want to do first?
Can I interrupt you? The XML handler.php needs a mime type of text XML.
Oh, thank you. So the problem with the previous example was that XML handler.php, in fact, I will write that. So XML handler.php, in fact, is actually returning, what is it returning? what is it returning? Yes, it's returning XML, but the server is telling the client that it's actually text, because by default, anything that isn't that doesn't have a .html or .php kind of extension is treated as text slash plain, which is the default MIME type, which means that it's a plain text document. So it's like a Windows file extension, but we're going to have to tell the client that this is actually an XML document and not text, not plain text. So we're going to use header. This is an HTTP. It creates an HTTP header, content type, text XML. So if we do that again, so basically this is saying to the client, this is an XML document. Please treat it as an XML document. It's not a plain text document. So if we click on this again, hopefully it'll work. Yes. No. Huh.
It could be a caching issue.
It could be. All right. Sorry, it's still not working. We'll go back to the JSON example then. I'm really sorry about this, guys. So what do we first want to do with the JSON version? What do you first want to code? Well, as...
You want to create the class.
Yeah, so we want to create...
You're going to return an object.
Right. We want to first create the class that will return the results. So in the previous XML example, we were using XML to encapsulate the data that we wanted to return, right? We wanted to return two fields, so we encapsulated them in an XML document, and hopefully that would have worked. So in this case, we're encapsulating that same data in JSON. So we're first creating a PHP class that encapsulates that data, and then we're going to convert that into JSON and return that string to the client. To the JavaScript that's operating on the client. So if we go to jsonhandler.php, I've defined a class here. It's very simple. It has four public variables, height, weight, BMI, and daytime. These are four public properties of this new class called BMI. That's simple enough, right? Okay, so here we're actually doing the MIME type correctly. Header has to be application/JSON. This is a special type of MIME type or file descriptor that's been specified by the powers that be that say that this is a JSON string or JSON document. So now we've declared this BMI class. We are going to have to populate it with the relevant variables, that is the BMI and the date, right? So first we're going to do some initialization things first. This is the same as in the XML example. We have the height variable. We're creating a new height variable with the get variable, same for weight, and we're calculating the BMI again, same thing here. And then here, we're doing something slightly new. See if we can go up. So we're creating a new BMI class, and we're putting that in a variable called myBMIThing. And so this is the new. This creates a new class of type BMI, and it puts that in this variable. So myBMIThing with the arrow height means the height property of the instance that we just created here. The instance of the BMI class that we created. We're saying this: the height should be $height, the weight should be $weight, and the BMI should be $BMI, and the date should be date R, which is the same thing we used in the XML example. This is basically just populating these four properties of this new instance of the BMI class that we created with some data. And this last line, this is basically what just creates JSON. Let's see if we can zoom in. Okay, so this last line here, we're saying echo JSON underscore encode my BMI thing. It's very simple. This just converts a PHP class into a JSON string, and since we're echoing it out, it's going to return to the client with the MIME type that we specified above, application JSON. Any questions here? Does everyone understand what's being returned to the server to the client? Sorry. Okay, so let's see what's actually being returned to the client when we call jsonhandler.php manually. So jsonhandler.php. Okay, that's not going to work. jsonhandler.php. As we saw, jsonhandler.php takes the same two arguments that the xmlhandler.php did, height and weight. And these are get variables again. Height equals 20, let's say, and weight equals 90. Okay, press enter. And this is popping up. We saw that this in lecture as well, but this is because Firefox treats anything that isn't plain text as something that must be opened with an external application. And so we're just going to hit OK to open it in the text editor. And macOS 10 is warning me that it was an application which was downloaded from the internet. Are you sure you want to open it? Yes. Yeah. So what we see here is basically a JSON representation of the class that we defined in the PHP script. So this might look cryptic, but that's okay because you don't actually need to do anything manually with this. It takes the same format as a JavaScript object. That's why it's called JSON, JS, JavaScript object notation. Height is 20, weight is 90, BMI is 0.225, datetime is null. That's because I made a typo. We declared the class as datetime, but we said date here instead. That should have been declared as date. Okay, so save that. And go back. And oops. JSON handler. Okay. Open. So okay, height, weight, BMI, and date with the correct date string. Okay. So now we're going to have to read in this JSON, this response from the server, which is now JSON. It's not XML or plain text anymore. It's JSON. So we're going to have to do something with this output in JavaScript to make some sense of the variables that we've got returned here. So let's go to my bmi.json.html page. Same thing here. Nothing's changed. We have a calculation function. This creates a new XMLHTTP request. This creates an URL. It's the same thing. The only part that's changed is jsonhandler.php instead of xmlhandler.php. And we're doing the same thing here. Now, as with the XML example, what's changed is what's inside this handler. This time I've called it my JSON handler. And up to here it's doing the same thing. If our request has been replied, if we've got a correct response, then do this. So I'm doing var bmi equals eval and some weird string concatenation. Now, what am I doing here? So first, what is xhr.responseText? What should that be?
That's that thing that we were just looking at in TextWrangler. Mm-hmm. That's the string representation of the object.
Right. So xhr.responseText is a string representation, a JSON string representation of the class that we defined in PHP. So xhr.responseText and eval. Can anyone tell me what this JavaScript function eval does? What does it sound like?
Deserializes.
Yes.
I mean, converts it to
a... Right. So it actually evaluates any arbitrary JavaScript code inside that string. And this works because JSON, as I said, uses the same format as a JavaScript object. So by evaluating a JSON string, we're actually... it's the same as writing that JSON string down in a JavaScript script. Does that make sense? So, and we have to create these parentheses artificially because JSON and JavaScript and what eval expects are slightly different. But this is just one thing that you have to remember when you're getting JSON as a result of a request and you're evaluating it to get the response as an object. So, what is BMI now?
It's the object.
Yeah, BMI is actually an object, and it's... what we've done is we had a PHP class called my BMI class, and we converted that through the internet and through this JavaScript to a JavaScript class. So we've basically taken a PHP class and then changed it into a JavaScript class. And so BMI is a JavaScript class that represents the PHP class that we created earlier on and has exactly the same data as we did earlier on.
And it was never declared.
And no, yeah, and yes, it was never declared in the JavaScript. BMI, so JavaScript here doesn't know what kind of object it's getting from the server. But it's been able to recreate that class that we created in PHP because all the information that was necessary was in the JSON string representation of the PHP class. So, okay, document.getElementById bmibox.value. This is the same thing as we had in the XML handler example. It's just populating this this input box that we have here, equals bmi.height. Now, can you see why it's so simple? Mm-hmm. Yeah, BMI is a JavaScript class, right? A JavaScript object. And so we're saying bmi.height. Basically, get the height property of the JavaScript object called BMI. As I said, all the data that we return to the client on the server side as a PHP class has been recreated here, and all the data that we encapsulated first is now available as bmi.height. Does that make sense?
Do you get exactly and only one object back from the server?
Right. Yes, because we encoded one object on the PHP side, so we're getting that one object on the JavaScript side.
And if you chose to, you could make it so that you got back many objects.
I'm not sure if you can do many objects, but you can certainly put them in an array and return many objects that way. Mm-hmm. I believe JSON encode only takes one object.
Okay.
Yeah. So bmi.height returns the height. Why am I doing bmi.height? That's incorrect. What should it be? What do I want to put in the BMI box?
BMI.
BMI, yeah. Why am I doing bmi.height? It should be bmi.bmi and bmi.date.
It's going
to
stop working now.
Maybe, yeah. So same thing here. And okay. So let's see if it works this time. bmi.json.html, height 200 meters, height 9,000 kilograms, calculate on server. It works. We've got the BMI, 0.225. It's a bit gray, and you might not be able to see it on the video, but it's worked. And Firebug is not has its happy green icon here instead of the red icon. So I'm happy it worked. So any questions about the JSON example? Any questions at all? Yes.
XML, you made it camel case in the response XML mm-hmm. one. You need to switch it back. That's why that other one's failing.
Mm-hmm.
The XML example that you used.
Oh, in this one?
Yes.
Okay, so response XML.
Because in Firefox shows that you now have a DOM in the response XML.
Oh, okay.
So.
Thank you. Let's see. Okay. Thanks to Dan, we've got this working again. The correct... I don't know why... It was response XML in the first place, right? With the cap...
Yeah, it was. But then you had the text XML mime type missing.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so first, the first problem with my code was that I had the mime type missing. Don't miss out the mime type if you're returning XML. And the second problem was that I was fiddling around with response XML, how it was spelt. It's actually spelt response in lowercase and XML as uppercase. So I had that right, but then I was messing around with it. So that made it fail. Now we've got it working. This XML version actually works now, and we've got the same BMI that we had in the JSON version. So everyone happy with that? Okay. So now we've got this BMI thing. As Dan mentioned, this is something that we could have done on the client side anyway. We don't need to bother with Ajax if we just want the BMI. So now let's do something useful. I actually have this website called crimsondining.org, and it shows all the menus from Harvard University Dining Services, which is our dining hall menu, and it basically has all the data that I actually scraped from the server, but don't tell them. Now I've got all this data in my database, and I've actually created a handler, an AJAX handler on the server side called dishnames.php. And I won't bore you with all the details, but basically it takes a query. Like, for example, it takes stir, for example. And then it will return all the dishes that all the dish names that begin with stir. So stir-fry vegetables, stir-fry pork, or whatever. So it basically it returns a list of all the of all those dishes that match. So that's Ajax dishnames.php. And I am going to implement an Ajax form that takes a query, and then when you press submit, it returns all the dish names in an Ajax operation. And this might be useful, for example, if you have an autocomplete field. For example, this one actually has an autocomplete field already. But so if I type in, for example, stir. If I type in stir, it says stir-fry Peking cabbage, stir-fry vegetables, stir-fry tofu. And if you're interested, this actually uses the Yahoo UE autocomplete library. And it was very simple. It was like 10 minutes of coding. And so if you want to implement something like this, I would recommend the autocomplete library that you'll find on the UE website. So let's say I want to implement this from scratch. And I'm just going to do the first baby steps, which is returning the dish names via Ajax. So or getting the dish names via Ajax, rather, sorry. So I have this new file that I created. It's not fully implemented yet. This is called cs75demo.html. And I'm doing the same thing here, XML HTTP request. It's creating that new object and the URL, dishnames.php. Remember, this is the Ajax handler that I created. It basically queries the database for all the dish names that match and then returns them in a list delimited by new lines. So basically, it's just one dish on one line. So nothing new here, right? Okay. So the handler, as always, is what's new. So my handler, XHR, ready state 4, yep, that's the same thing. I'm actually not returning XML, so I'm going to remove this. So David mentioned this in lecture, but what do we do when we want to return the results of an Ajax operation in a text box? What do we use?
Text area?
Yeah, we can simply use a text area, which is that big multi-line text editor editing box that you might have seen. Text area. Now this will go to give it an ID. Let's call it results. And to the server, we're going to send one input. One string, one argument, which is called query. We'll call that query. So basically, this is just like a Google search box. There's one input box, and then you click, and then it returns the results. Okay, so it's not a BMI calculator. So query document got. So here we're getting the value of the query box, and then we're putting that in the URL. And XHR status equals 200. Then what do you want to do? We've got the results properly in this handler. Yep, document dot. Yep. Results. Yep. Dot. Yep.
Inner HTML.
This refers to the inner HTML of the text area, basically what's inside the text area, because a text area is not the same as an input box. If you want to define a text area, you have to first start the text area tag, then put any values that you want inside, and then you have to end the text area tag. It's a slightly unintuitive format, but inner HTML dot response. .xhr dot response text. Okay. So what was the CS75? Okay. So query, what do you want to query? Stir, okay. Stir, cat. Ooh, it's not working. Why is it not working?
Because it's a live demo.
Yeah, exactly. So,
checkbox.
Well, we have do calculated file, but then do look
at the. Oh, really?
I think you do. You see, do look
over
the top.
Oh, thank you. So,
sure.
Yeah. So, one thing I want to point out, that if you're troubleshooting AJAX and you click on the submit button and it happens to post back to the current page, then that means that you've got something wrong in your JavaScript. Because of the way that asynchronous JavaScript works, AJAX works, it's not going to show you an error in Firebug, but it's going to do this weird thing of not returning false and then posting back to the same page. It's a nuisance, and it caught me out this time. Basically, if you see your script just returning to the same page when you click on submit instead of doing it the AJAX things, it means that you've got a problem with your JavaScript code somewhere. And Firebug will not actually tell you because by the time that Firebug displays the error, it's going to be on the next page. So the console is going to be cleared. So that's why I was repeatedly clicking the refresh button when I was trying to get the error to appear in the earlier XML example. So do lookup is this one? Should be do lookup as well. Okay, so. Oh, yeah, thank you. It should be capital L, as function names in JavaScript are case sensitive. Yeah, so so let's enlarge that. It's probably going to be overly big. Yes, it is. So, ta-da! We have the three items that we got from the handler. And if we take a peek at the handler, what it basically does is... this needn't worry you too much since it's supposed to be abstracted anyway, so even if you didn't see this code, you would still be able to code the JavaScript. It basically takes the query and then it issues one or two SQL queries on it to get the list of dishes, and then it echoes them with this and then leaves a null, not a null terminator, a new line a new line at the end of every dish, so it creates a list of dishes. So that's what dishnames.php was doing. So our JavaScript works. So do you see how AJAX can actually be used for something useful if you have, say, a database? Because you can't get the entire content of the database to your clients every time they want to do a search, right? I mean, if Google had to do that, then it would be a disaster. So Google Maps, for example, like it displays all the... For example, if you start typing in Cambridge, then it will show you Cambridge, MA, for example. So if it returned all the city names in the world to you every time you wanted to do that kind of query, then it would be a problem. So that's why we have AJAX to do this for us. I want to show you how to... Now, we were using get, right? I want to show you how to use post instead of get. So dishnames.p... what's the first thing that we need to change?
Get to post.
Yeah, change get to post. It's easy. okay. And this URL is obviously a get kind of URL, so we want to remove that. We're still going to have a URL. It's just not going to have these get variables in them. It's going to be called dishnames.php. And can anyone guess where we can put the variables that we want to post? Yes, xhr.send. So we've been using null so far to represent that we're not sending any post variables. We're not sending any. Actually, we can... We could have, instead of putting this URL, we could have put the, I believe we could have put the data in the send as well, but I'll show you how to do that right now. Instead of null, we're going to have a list of all the variables that we want to send. And this takes the same format as a get query string. So what I mean by that is, this is basically what we need to do. XHR.send query equals the same query, the query that we got from the text box. And if we want to return, if we want to send multiple post variables, we can do the same thing that we did in a get variable, for example, and name, is that an and? Yes, and name equals, I don't know, a name, Dan. So, Can you see how very similar it is to get query strings? It's in fact exactly the same format. It's basically the name of the variable that we're trying to send equals the value of the variable, and name equals value.
But it won't appear as part of the URL. This is a little more secure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So it won't appear in the access logs of the HTTP server. And
it won't be visible in the address line.
It won't be visible anyway because it's AJAX, so it's doing all the queries inside the background. Yes.
So that's how you would send the variables if you were doing get. But
oh no, this is this if we're doing post.
Oh. Okay.
So
how would you send them through the send method if you were doing get?
I believe you can simply change that to get and it will accept it as
get. And send is the same. Right?
Yeah, I think so. We can try. In fact, we will have to do that for now because AJAX names, dish names expects get variables and not post variables. So if this works, then it means that okay, it doesn't work. Right. So unless I've done something wrong here. Okay, so it looks like I misspoke. You cannot use the contents of the send function with get. It has to be with post. Let's hope it works with post. We're going to have to change dishnames.php. So instead of $get, I'm just doing a search and replace. So does this work? Ooh.
One of the things you had in the other file was you had that name equals sans.
No, that should not present any problems. This is the wrong page. Query equals. Okay, this is not working. Can anyone tell me why this time?
Probably to set request headers, it looks like.
Oh, okay. So, so posting to the...
So, after open, mm-hmm. you have to set, you have to use the set request header method in the HTML HTTP request object.
Okay.
And define, it looks like a content type to be application x www form URL encoded.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so sorry. I thought AJAX would handle XML HTTP request. The object would handle this for me. But since post, recall back to the first lectures, we covered the difference between get and post. And get, we all the arguments were passed by the URL. And post, all the arguments were not passed by the URL. They were passed not by the HTTP headers, but by a special special field in the HTTP request. And this is encoded in a special type called form URL encoded. And so it's if we want to post, we're using XML HTTP request, then it gets slightly more complicated. I'm sorry about that. Let's go back to get. And I'll show you because this code actually has a bug that needs to be fixed pretty urgently. Okay, so we're going to change this back to post get. Okay, so what is the problem? All right. Okay. Sorry about that. We're back to the original get request. What is wrong with this? There's actually a problem with this. Are you?
it's not going to handle spaces in the
right. It's not going to handle spaces because if we say stir fry as the query string, we want all the stir fry dishes, so we type stir fry. Oh, okay, it will. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So if we see here, it's actually not getting the entire contents of stir fry. It's getting stir. What do we need to do here?
Make it percent 20.
Yeah, so JavaScript actually has a function that will do this for you. If we say encode URI and the string, then... oh, really? Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. Okay, so now we've got this working, and... So this is actually not related. If we say what is like brown basmati returns brown basmati rice, encode URI is this a function in JavaScript that takes a normal string, for example, that might contain spaces. It might contain special URL characters like the ampersand and the equal sign. These are special characters because they're used in get variables, so they have to be treated specially. But encode URI encodes those characters in forms that can be passed safely via URLs. It's equivalent, you might think, to the MySQL real escape string function that escaped the double quotes in SQL strings. It's similar to the notion is similar. It doesn't do the same thing, but it's very similar in that it makes a string safe for passing in to different commands and to statements.
PHP is URL encode.
In PHP, it's URL encode in PHP. In JavaScript, it's encode URI with caps URI. And you'll see that since I'm using TextWrangler, which is a syntax highlighting editor, encode URI shows up as highlighted. So that's sometimes an easy way to check that your function names are correct. If you're dabbling with both PHP and JavaScript, you can easily become confused between URL encode and encode URI. Those sound very similar, and they do the same thing. So you might want to use a syntax highlighting text editor for this kind of thing. So I'm very sorry about the post. I should have written that earlier, not on the fly. Does anyone have any questions about what did work and what didn't work? Or anything else in this section? All right. So if not, then we'll see you in 2 weeks. We won't have section next week because it's spring break. So we'll see you in 2 weeks and happy spring break.